Well, we started the meeting this morning with the scripture in Hebrews. I think it's the sixth chapter. That talked about the things that accompany salvation. So I'd like to help of the Lord expound a little bit more on the idea of things that accompany salvation. I believe, without taking a lot of time to back it with scriptures, but I believe that God ordains human life. I believe He created it originally, but I think it's a little bit more than just a creation let go. I think God ordained every one of us. You are ordained of God. I believe God made you who you are. Some scriptures come to mind. I think one scripture says, He knew me from my mother's womb. Those kind of things lets me to know that God is in control of those kind of things. And God made me to be who I am. Have you ever wondered, maybe it's a little out there, but have you ever wondered, why did He make me like He did? Or I say this, why didn't He make me? Why can't I be you? What's the difference that keeps me from being somebody else? Well, God made us to be who we are. Not only that, I believe that God ordains a path for everyone. I believe God has for you tonight a path. It is the most blessed place that you individually can be is in your path that God made you to be in. Now, we as humans have really distorted God's plan of what He wants us to be. We see it in our culture all the way around us of men that don't want to be men and women that don't want to be women and people out of their places and all those things. But happiness eludes those people on every hand. It's hard to be contented with life and what's around you when you really aren't what you're supposed to be. I believe this tonight, that the most fulfilling thing that you'll ever be, your potential to be the happiest in this life is found in the purpose. Amen. The absolute purpose that God has for you. And I also believe that God has a general purpose for mankind. But I think He has a specific purpose for you. One made for you. Tailor made fit. You are fit to it. You are born to it. Your personality fits it. Your character fits it. Everything about you fit what God ordained the path to be in your life. I believe that. I believe that God has for everyone in here something special. Now, I know what you're saying. I don't feel special. And probably of anything that I run into as a question as being a minister, and especially from young people, is, Brother Marty, what am I supposed to be doing? Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. So I get that out of the way right now. For the most part, as far as me fine-tuning what you're supposed to be and do, I don't know. And I don't imagine the Lord is ever going to really give me the job of going around telling people what they're supposed to be in life. And I don't really think anyone has that. I don't think God gives it to people to go around dictating other people's lives. But God knows and has tailor-made places for people in their life. And so when people say, well, what am I supposed to be doing? I want to serve the Lord. And what am I supposed to be doing? My answer generally is that I really don't know. But I do know this. God does want you. And whatever it is that God has made for you to do will fulfill you. Amen. As much as you can be fulfilled in this life. It will fulfill you. It is what you're supposed to be. There have been many times in my life testimonies from the sisters. Many times the sisters will testify, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. And I look and they're raising a whole bunch of children. They're taking care of things. And you know, I'm saying, well, what more do you want to do? And what greater call is there in this life than to be a godly mother raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? I don't know that God put a greater calling to anyone than that. I read the account of Charles and John Wesley. And if I get this right, it was one of them that made the comment that when asked about their success of life and all that they did, they turned it around and said it was Mom. It was Mom that taught us what we, and I say this, if you've ever read or studied any of John Wesley, of his day, he was a man very given to God. He totally gave his, he was one of the, I know it goes all the way back in scriptures, but John Wesley was one that really brought out the idea of sanctification in his day more than anybody else. He had a life of sanctification. He taught sanctification. The thing that he done in his life, he touched in his ministry literally thousands of people. And his mother raised him. I say this, that whatever God has you doing, many people will say, I need something more, or I want to be led, or all this, and I see anxiety and I see stress in that many times, and I look at the situation as I see it and say, my idea is just relax. Just calm down and live for God. God knows how to lead you. Make sure that you're an honest soul. Make sure that there is nothing you won't do for Him. Make sure that you have it all together. Then rest in God, because He knows how to get you to the exact place He wants you to do, and He can do it in the most gentle, easiest, simplest ways. God knows how to make of you exactly what He wants you to be. And I can think in my own lives, and I'll be honest with you, I had the anxieties too. I loved the Lord and I wanted to do something, but I didn't know how, and I didn't have skill, and I wasn't taught anything, and I didn't know anything. Only thing I wanted to serve the Lord, and I didn't know how to do it. And how is it possible that the Lord could take somebody like me that don't know anything, and does not have no capabilities? I didn't have a speech class. I wasn't able to do anything. I was a nervous type. I didn't like to stand in front of people. I got too nervous to do anything like that. How is the Lord ever going to do anything with me? Well, I figured the Lord would have something like I could sweep the floors at the chapel, and I could mow grass, or I could help the ministers. I could do something in that. But the point that I'm saying is that I didn't know. But I gave it to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm willing. Amen. There come a place that I actually told the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to be a fool. I will be a fool if it takes being a fool. You know, I've had to rely on that covenant many times when things was great. I said, oh, look this. And I said, Lord, I told you I would be. And there it was. But I'm going to tell you tonight the way it worked for me before we get into Scripture. God's able. The Lord would simply give me these little clips of thoughts that would end services or do this. And the only thing that He asked me to do was to stand up and say these few little clips of words. He don't deal with everybody like this, but He knows how. He knows who you are. He knows how to fulfill you. He knows what to do with you. As a potter knows how to make that vessel, He knows how to make you. And so He gave me these excerpts of things and thoughts. And, oh, I'm telling you, on the way to work now, I could preach an hour and a half. I wasn't a preacher, but boy, I could really preach on the way there. But I barely could say two sentences when I stood up. But that's all the Lord required of me, was a couple sentences. Well, there come a time that Brother Sammons was our pastor at the time. Brother Tony was there helping out. He was our adult Sunday school teacher for most of the time, but then he started preaching, and Brother Sammons would be gone long times. And Brother Tony said to me in the barbershop one day, he said, Brother Marty, we're needing an adult teacher. And just as quick, I hardly even thought about it. I said, I'm willing. And he said, are you? And I said, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever the Lord give me. grace enough to do. I'd do it. But now, I didn't really think that it was that pending. I said yes, and okay, it's time. Well, it wasn't just but a week or so after that. He called me up on Sunday morning. That's not a real good idea. But he called me up on Sunday morning just before service and said, Brother Marty, did you know Dad was out of town? Yeah, I knew he was out of town. But see, I was expecting the call before it was going to come. And he said, we need a Sunday school teacher. I said, well, you know what just happens? The Lord has been dealing with me the last couple of days about a thought. Do you know I was able, by the Lord's grace, to get up and do that? It was just a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Just to hear a little bit and a little bit here of breaking in and working, being faithful, being willing to stand up and say what the Lord gave me to say, a little bit at a time. And it come to a point that some of them there at home was saying, and in other places, well, the Lord's going to make a preacher out of him. And I told them at home, well, I said, I'll tell you this. If I ever get up to preach, you better listen, because it'll definitely be the Lord. They said, all right, all right. But the Lord knows how to deal in your life. You say, I can't be a preacher. Yes, you can. And you can be very effectual. If the Lord's in it, there's nothing that hinders you or stops you. All you have to do is flow. You got to flow with the Lord. Be willing to go, Lord, lead me into this path. It's not what you think it is. It wasn't for me. In my mind, the devil played it up as something always bigger than it was, always harder than it was. But as the Lord put his loving, tender hands into it, it wasn't like that at all. It began to work. It just began to work. And had the blessing. Well, I didn't have to do it or do anything with it. It started working. The thing that the Lord wanted started working. And we're talking about the things that accompany salvation. I want to tell you, as a child of God tonight, you have a call on your life. Of some kind, some way. You are a godly mother. Or you are a witness to your neighbor. Or you are a help for other people. But you have a call on your life. You are a preacher material when you don't think you are. You're a help. You're a blessing. You're a singer. If you got a song, sing it. If you got a prayer, pray it. I want to testify tonight that in the congregations that I labor in, I believe, I'm of the Holy Ghost, but I believe that it's our great privilege to have more public prayers than pray. It blesses us. Don't be, I couldn't do it. A few words from a sincere heart blesses us all. We don't go by capability. We go by the spirit of heartfeltness. When somebody breaks loose at home and prays that simple prayer, we all feel the joy. It's wonderful. And God is calling. And sometimes that's the reservation. Do you know that the ability to pray is it accompanies salvation. Who we are as a people, it accompanies us. We have a calling on our lives. I want to start tonight with a scripture in Matthew. This is familiar. It's been looked at many, many times. 25th chapter of Matthew in the 14th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took journey, and I know you've heard this, or most of us have, that he did not give nothing to anyone. He got down to 1. You can get no less than 1. Oh, I guess you could break things in halves and quarters, but 1's as low as you can get. But to everyone, according to their several ability, and as low as he went, was 1. To me, it makes a grand statement that everyone is important. And you're as important with 1. I'm going to tell you, 1 can be the thing that's needed. defeated. That one can be the thing that tops us over the end. It is that song in the night. It is that prayer. It is that faithfulness. Sometimes it's a card. Sometimes it's a bowl of soup. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's the one talent that does the job. And He's given to everybody one talent. I can't dictate it. You can't dictate it for me. But we all have one to seek, to learn, to get. You may think that I'm a one-talent person, and you're cutting yourself way short. Because as we give ourselves to the Lord, the Lord develops in us. The first ministry that I ever personally had was Sunday school teaching. And do you know, I still at times revert and to the glory of God, but I preach hundreds of times. But at home, there's sometimes it reverts back to me to just teach. And the blessing's still there. The calling of it. I can open it and right before the congregation, right before me, the Lord works and deal. And I feel the calling working. The inspiration rose. I know it's there. I feel it there. And there's times that I go to that and I'm not. There's many things that the Lord can do. You may say, I'm just a mother. Maybe your talents, I'm telling you, if that's all there is, it's as much as you need. But oh, there is so much in a kind word, in a mercy, in helps. Everyone has a talent. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story of something that the Lord, He never quits teaching. Before we left home, I had a tire that started thumping. Well, I'm going to go back before that. Had an oil change at a Walmart some many months ago. And they do this little dilly at Walmart, and they'll check all your stuff for you. Well, they checked my tires and said, you have a broke belt. And I said, a broke belt? And I told Linda, I don't have no broke belt. I checked them tires. I don't know what they do to say that, but they said, you have a broke belt. And I said, I told Linda, I said, this thing is smooth as silk. Them broke belts would be thumping. And I said, there ain't no broke belt on this. And I drove, and I even looked at it different times. I get down and looked at it. That don't have no broke belt in it. And I kept a going. Okay. So we was at, well, I actually had the tires rotated from the front to the back because that was sufficient. Well, if it is a broke belt, I don't want it on the front. And I put it on the back. And when I changed it, I said, that ain't no broke belt. Them tires ain't nothing wrong with it. So anyway, we was getting ready to leave. Before we left, one of my tires started thumping. Thump, 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 you know, thumping. And I said, oh, no. And the first thing I thought of was this broke belt. But it wasn't the right tire. It was one of the front tires that was thump, thump, thumping. And I said, well, it's easier to get tires out west than it is at home because I had to make a special trip and I'd been out here. I'll get tires when I go out west. It'll be all right. Been running these things. They look fine. Tread on them and everything. And so I took the thump, thump, thump tire off and put it in the spare. And I put the spare, which is a good tire and matching rims and everything, and put it on the van. And I thought, well, I'm good to go. So we went to Alabama, held a meeting, and it was up about 11 o'clock at night. We decided that we was going to take off to Missouri. And so we get in the van and everybody's good to go and we're going down the road and we started to hear. I told Linda, I said, van's acting funny. It's kind of swaying and pulling to one side like one tire was a little slower than the other or something kind of. And out a little while it started thump, 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 and it kept going real fast. And I said, Linda, this ain't good. This thing's thump, thump, thumping. And it was just a little bit, boom, it blew. The tire blew out. And I said, you know, it's not good. And we pulled over to Linda's finally said, there's a lighted place right there. It was all dark and there was a lighted place there. So I pulled up there. Now you can see this scene. Here we are up at 11:30, 12, whatever it was at night. I'm over at this lighted place. And so I get out there and I'm going to change the tire. Now I know what my spare's like. Because I put it in there thinking, well, it'd be good for one of these get to the next place thing if I had to, but I won't have to. And so I know this tire, oh no. Now here we are. So I get in out there and I'm starting to change this and I'm trying to get the lug nuts off and I've always been able to pop those things off and I pulled and twisted and they just wouldn't give. Well, what am I going to do now? I can't even get the tire off of here. And I started looking around to see if it had a pipe and all this stuff. And anyway, Then a police officer pulls up there, check out what, I think he's checking out, and how's it, well, I got the flat tire, everything's fine, yeah, and said, is there any place to get tires? And she talked a little bit, so it was a woman officer. And I went on with my business. I was under the van getting the tire out, the spare out from under there and on. And Seth, he was out there with me. And a little bit, he said, Dad, she wants to talk to you. And so I got out and she said, here's a paper. It's got phone numbers on it for some truck places around. You've got tires and stuff. You may be able to at least change a tire if you get one, that kind of stuff. You might help you out. And she said, this bottom number is our dispatch number. And there's a guy... I hate to always say it, but there's a guy naked running around out here somewhere. And if you see him, you get in the van and lock the doors and call us. Well, I looked at Seth and Seth looked at me, and I know I didn't talk to Seth. I'm going to have to ask him, but I looked at Seth and he kind of looked at me, and my thought was, should we tell Linda? And I think he was probably thinking the same thing. I wonder what we should do. Because he was kind of looking at me and I said, we got to change the tire. So I went ahead, done it in a little bit. I said, give this to Linda. You better. And so he went and told her. And I told the officer, this is not good. This is not good. The Lord helped us. I was able to get the tire off and everything. Finally got it broke off. And we got that on there. And we finally got out on the road. And which was good. It really was good that we did. And thump, 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 thump. Started getting worse. And we went no, just anywhere. So I pull over at a Walmart. We went a little over an hour from my daughter's. We was headed all the way to Missouri. And there we are, stuck beside the road. Lord talked to me a little bit that night. I didn't sleep well. I was out in the parking lot walking around 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for 7. They wasn't coming in until 7. Couldn't get tires. And the Lord started dealing with me about our lives. Yes. You know, I made some decisions. I made some simple decisions about what to do. And I shortcut some things that logic tells you not to do. I tried to push it, folks, to the limit. I was going to push it. I was going to push it all the way. How many times have we got there in that storyline and they're beside the road? They've not took care of the essentials, the things that's really valuable, wasn't took care of. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're traveling anywhere, tires is an important thing on a vehicle. It's good to have tires. And I knew that the tires was, and I was going to push it for the last miles that it could get. I was going to get all that I could type thing. And I found myself stuck there. And I'm glad God's merciful and deals with us. It worked out. We spent a miserable night in a Walmart parking lot. And that was about as bad as it got. And as far as that, was able to get tires and going. I was thankful for how all that worked out. But I sort of learned a lesson about life and things it is. And I want to tell you, we can get the idea that salvation is just this thing that you have here, and somehow it works in spite of you. And somehow you're going to be blessed no matter what. And somehow you're going to find the most fulfilling life that you can have and never put out anything to try to do it. But it's not true. It's not true. This is valuable, folks. This is the most valuable things that it is and the things that accompany salvation. Do you realize that this is the mind and heart of God? This ain't not to be taken lightly for your life. This is your life spiritually. God has given you who you are, what you are, and what you ought to be. And it is nothing more valuable to you in life than the call of God on your life and what He's made you to be. Too many people end up beside the road waiting for someone to come and rescue them from that place, to help them through it, to do something, to try to get them back on track, because they've missed the opportunities to really have that place of blessedness in their lives. Lord, help us. Because it's valuable. And I think of a scripture, and you can look it up if you want to. It's a story of Ahab. Ahab was king. Ahab could do whatever he wanted to do. And right beside his property was a man. Naboth, I think, was his name. And he had a vineyard. And he got covetous over it, and he wanted it, hit Naboth's vineyard. Because it lay nigh to him, and it was perfect to spread out his property, and he wanted that. And he wanted it bad. But do you remember what this man and his integrity did when they come to try to get his vineyard? He said, far be it from me to sell the inheritance. My inheritance. Do you know really the depths of what that means, this man was really saying? It wasn't that he necessarily had the best piece of property on the block. What he was saying is, this was hand-picked by God for the fulfillment of my life. Far be it from me to sell the inheritance that has fell. You remember, wasn't it David that wrote something about the lions falling in goodly places? His lions? That's what he's talking about. Lord, where you choose my property, allow it to fall in places that's right for me. My block, my space, the thing that I'm supposed to be doing, the calling that's on my life, let it fall where it's best for me to be. Not in my haughtiness to want to be some. I want to be this, or I want to go there or do that. Lord, let it fall for me in my space. Naboth said, far be it. I would never sell it to you. No, there is no price for God's calling on my life. There is no price for this place that God ordained for my life. Ahab, you don't have enough money or prestige to get this from me because it goes above you. God gave it to me. There is no price on this, folks. Don't allow the devil to buy it from you. Don't allow people to steal it from you. This is yours. And it belongs, it accompanies salvation to every child of God. There is a specific and special purpose in your life. And you may not recognize it, and it may be working. If you're faithful, it is. I'm going to tell you, if it's faithful, it's working in your life. Many people can't even recognize what's happening in their life and go on and on wondering what they're supposed to be doing at all the same time. They're blessing their neighbors with their life. They're blessing their fellow workers with their life. They're doing something for God all the time, wondering what they're supposed to be doing, and they're flowing. Just flowing because God has ordained it to be that way. To individuals, he gave five. That's responsibility. That's heavy responsibility. There's a lot to that. There is places that we become responsible because God has given it right there. We're responsible. And to those five, the five, in this, we won't read it, but you can if you want. In this idea of the talents there, the one that got five talents went on and made five other. The idea of that was is that every responsibility and place that God put him in, he done his utmost. He was faithful to it. It worked. It can't keep from working if you're faithful. It's God that works. It'll work. And they was able to do that to the point that he made five more. He doubled it. He increased it by faithful industry. In other words, the God gave the ability for him, suppose it this way. God gave him the ability to witness. It was in his heart. Do you know I've seen people that had a blessing on their life that they could witness like I can't? Now, everybody's got a witness, but they had a special one. And you know, I remember up home, there were certain people up there, and you may even say, if you will, would be the less of the saints. If you want to say it this way, maybe ones that didn't say so much or anything, but do you know, over the course of the years when we had meetings, if anybody was to bring visitors in to visit, it almost always was them. They was not intimidating, they had the right, they just had the presentation to be able to say it, that it just worked in their lives. And what it is, if you have that gift, use it. Use it. Do it. Use it. Allow it to grow and blossom. And go farther. Because it's responsible places. When my first wife was in University of Virginia Hospital, medical center there, some of the saints one time came over and said, we want to sing. We can hear it so much, we don't really realize what kind of a blessing it can be. I'm telling you, the world don't hear it like we hear it after we've heard it a long time. It's still a blessing to me, don't get me wrong, but we can settle down into it. Yes. Saints came over and we went to, there was a lot enough of them, we went to a waiting room, and there was different people in the waiting room, and when we went in, somebody mentioned, well, we don't really want to disturb people, and, you know, so what do we do? And I said, let me ask them. Now, people in that kind of a place a lot of times are heavy-hearted. They're burdened with things, and they'll eat things like that up. And so I just stopped everybody in their normal course and said, excuse me, would you all mind if we sang a little bit, sang some hymns and stuff? And if anybody descended, I didn't hear them. Everybody said, oh, please, please do it. So they come in and started singing. And oh, did it start hitting the heart chords quick. But I'm going to tell you, we sing and it's blessed, but there's times, and you know it as well as I do because we've all experienced, there's time that God pours out on it. And this was one of those times that God poured out on it. It was more than the harmony that existed. There was a spirit. There was a spirit that poured out on that, and people started responding. I was in almost a place of euphoria. I was saying, oh boy, this is one of these things you read about. I mean, this, God's coming down here and people's hearts are melting. This is a place. But you know, not everybody there, and I'm not being critical at all, but not everybody there was in tune with it. And some of them happened to be the singers. And after a few songs, somebody said, oh, it's hot in here. We're hot in here. And broke the spirit of it. And I was heartbroken. Lord. Oh, there was still work to do. We had plenty of talking and praying. We was able to. But I'm telling you, the call. Can you sing? Listen, I can't hardly carry a tune in a bucket. I don't have the response. I sing, but I don't. It's not. The Lord hasn't used me for that. I'm willing, but He hasn't. I used to pray, Lord, give me the gift. It's so valuable. It works so often. But if you can sing, be conscious of a call on your life. Oh, do you know that D.S. Warner, when they began to preach in what we call this modern Reformation, do you know that he took a troop with him? They wrote the songs by the inspiration of God and took people. Do you think they took somebody that couldn't carry a tune? No, God made them. God gave them the vocal cords. God blessed them. God brought them in. He had a call for them. The story went that B.E. Warner, he wrote a lot of songs in our book. You remember the story? That D.S. Warner wanted him as a young man to be a part of his troupe. He wrote songs. He's a very talented man and very musical. And could sing, and D.S. Warner wanted him, but his dad didn't want him to do it. And the way the story went, this man fell down on the floor like he was dying with a heart attack or something, and he came up and said, are you willing that Barney go with us? And he said, yeah, I'm willing to go. This is the story that I heard. And they prayed for him, and the Lord rose him up. He said, yeah, Barney. But it was important, men with gifts, men with callings. You have them too. You have them too. I'm not talking about going with the flesh. Yes. I'm talking about going with a God-given call, inspiration, and gift on your life. Yes. And it's not synonymous with pride to say the Lord gave me ability to sing. It's not. Yes. It's God that did it. Yes. Give God the glory of it. Yes. Sing. All singers, sing. You know, I have known people, too, that had just a gift of prayer. Yes. Now, everybody can pray, but you know what I mean? I know of people that can open up in prayer, and you can feel the movement. Yes. Another experience I had in the hospital over there was the singers come in one time, and we saw singing in the room, and there was a bunch of saints in there. And I want to tell you, the whole floor of that hospital started gravitating towards that room. And they was people sticking their head in the doors, and they was standing in the hall, and who couldn't get in the room was around the room, and they was spread out all over the place. And the Lord was just poured out. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord came down, and right in the middle of it all, when a song started, Brother Stanley Dixon jumps up. I can still remember it. He jumped up and said, "Oh, Father in heaven," and he started praying, and I'm telling you, it was so anointed. And everybody knew it. It wasn't, you couldn't gainsay it. Something was happening and God was working in it. And the willingness right there in front of strangers and all that to be able to offer that. As we said today, the blessing overflowed from his being, from him. It came from through him and it overflowed to all those that was willing to accept it. There it was around them. You have a call on your life. It accompanies. You say, "I'm saved. I know I'm saved." You then have a special call in your life. A path of God. A place fixed for you. A place that you can reach and touch and be a blessing to the people in your life. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, I'll finish this one. To some he gave five. The five was only faithful and they made five. To two, two wasn't responsible for five. Had God gave five to two, he wouldn't have ended up with it. He couldn't have done it. He wasn't capable of it. God didn't create him for it. God didn't make him to be able to do it. But he was just as faithful with his two. But then there was one that was given one. And somehow one's not very important. Somehow one is not near as important as, you know, every one of them is made of one. You can't get the two until you get one. One. And he took that and it said because he was fearful in different things, he wasn't faithful with it. He hid it. You know what the Lord said of that? Called him wicked. Wicked servant. Why wasn't you faithful with it? I gave you this to be able to increase it. When God gives you a calling in your life, by your industry and by your faithfulness, you can be responsible for the increase of it. Yes. How often do I use my gift? As often as I can. Where it's relevant. Where it works. Where I can do it. I'll say this too. We can have a desire many times and not have a calling at all. When I first come among the saints and the Lord started dealing with me. I'd done Sunday school classes and then especially when I started ministering, there was people that said, "Brother Marty, would you please do our young people's class for us?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love the opportunity." It's opportunity to God. I found out real quick, God didn't bless it. Now, I know you all say, "Now, come on, brother." I'm telling you, I done it and I done it and I done it to the point that I said, "I don't want to be messing stuff up here. God is not blessing it. I'm willing to do it. But I need some inspiration and some anointing." And it wasn't on it. I tried. I went in with the same. But I don't know why it didn't work. And you can figure it. If it's important enough for you, you can pray and ask the Lord. Maybe he'll tell you. He never did me other than it never worked. I never felt blessed. I didn't have no anointing on it. I didn't feel like that they felt like it was. And so I tell you, I've always been willing. But it's somebody's job. Somebody has a talent for it. Somebody is real good at it. Somebody has the call on them. That the young people know it. See, the young people knew it when I was there too. They knew it. I knew it. Somebody has it. And it might be you. You know, children need to be taught. Children need to be... I think I do a good job with my own children. Somebody's good with all of them. Because it's a call. And it works. It works. I want to look at another scripture. It's in John 21st chapter. Verse 21st chapter of John. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saying to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now, I don't know all about this, but I know how that would work with me. He said that three times. He must have meant it. Peter, you are created of God. I gave you a personality that sticks out. You're a kind of a spontaneous fellow, and you've got a way about you. Tempered in my hand, I have given you a job that will bring many souls into the kingdom of God. Peter, feed my sheep. You know, that's not difficult when the sheep are all gathering around and they all just really appreciate you. They just love dear old Peter. But I'm going to tell you when it gets that down to it. Now, I imagine it got down to it many, many times. Peter, what do you think you're doing? I imagine the words rang true when they were unfaithful, when they wanted to stone him, when the things didn't work out the way that they thought that they should, and they come against him. I imagine these words rung true in his mind through and through. Peter, feed my sheep. Feed him when it's cold. Feed him when it's hot. Be faithful to your... I'm giving you a charge. I'm going to allow you to understand the mysteries. Feed my sheep. And I imagine when it got tough and they was indifferent, the words of the Lord came ringing true. Lord, thou knowest... He said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Feed my sheep, Peter. Peter, be determined to do it. Do it with all your heart. It accompanies your salvation. Your salvation comes with something that hooks right to it. You can't get around it. It's a part of it. But Peter realized this. You'll never be so fulfilled in your life as when you feed them and they grow. You'll never be so fulfilled in your life to see people come out of the dumps of sin and despair and come to be a godly man that would die for Christ. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that one that you brought, that you fed and you done it, and now they're taking care of you, Peter. Now they're saying when you're discouraged, they're speaking encouraging words to you. Oh, I'm going to tell you, your heart is going to be enlarged when this happens. It's going to fulfill you at this time. And this accompanies salvation. It goes along with it. You can't get around it. You have responsibility. You have jobs. But along with it, you have blessings and you have promises. You have things that God Himself has ordained for you. Don't let the devil ever minimize you. That I ain't someone else. You don't need to be someone else. You need to be you. Amen. Ordained of God to be you. Blessed of God to be you. Called of God into your place and what you're meant to be. If you're a wife, if you're a mother, high callings of God. High callings. Be faithful. You might raise the next great evangelist, if you want to call them that. You might be responsible in your teaching. Be true to it. Be true to it. I want to say this. My dear old grandmother never seen much fruit happen in her life that I ever knew. My grandmother was a faithful woman. She loved the Lord. She's a little old woman. Didn't seem like she would ever stuck out in a crowd at all. You probably wouldn't have remembered her if you hadn't just known her. She wouldn't have been that type. But you know, I'm partly here because of it. And I said, if the chain works, if I can ever be a blessing to anyone, count it to Grandma. Count it to her. She was faithful. She stayed true to the end and showed us how to do it. And I look back at it and say, dear old Grandma, she sure hung in there. She was one of the faithful. So I want to end with that tonight and this thought. And it was mentioned in a song. I kind of caught a thought. Jesus came to a woman at the well of Samaria. And there's quite a story involved with that. He said, I must need go by there. Told the disciples, had them, they went to get food. Jesus went, and there was a Samaritan woman, and he was a Jew. And there was an enmity between them. And Jesus came up and began to minister to her, talk to her. She was astonished that a Jewish man would approach her in that sense. It wasn't normal. And if you remember that, Jesus ended up imparting to her about the living water. And she said, give me that water. Now I want to tell you what happened. It accompanies salvation, folks. That Samaritan woman went. Now, she went up there, and see, it was very well known in their culture that when the Messiah came, he would know all things. Now that was the that is what Peter referred to right there when he said about feed my, thou knowest all things, Lord. That was already known that when the Messiah came, he would know all things. And they was looking for that. So when this woman met this man that says, thou hast said truly, you have five husbands and the one you got's not yours. See, you should know that. This man can tell you. And you know what happened? She took what the Lord imparted to her. This little space of time. And she went down, back down there and evangelized the city. She went down there and went down there and told them, and they knew what it meant. There is a man up here that can tell you all things. Now, they knew what that meant. And they come out of there in droves. And it touched the Lord's heart. Amen. Don't you know that the Lord knew what woman to deal with? Do you think that that was the last thing she ever said about Jesus? She's just getting wound up. I imagine if she had that kind of inspiration to do that, she'd probably done it all her life vocal. There's people that would have said, oh, I can't say anything. People might look at me funny or I can't step out and do that. That woman went straightway. And it seemed like she was bold because she moved the city. And they came out in droves. A great throng of people came out. You have a gift tonight. We're in a thought of the things that accompany salvation. It sticks to it. You may not ever really fulfill that. That is a place that you can deny. But you'll deny your salvation if you do. In the long run, you'll deny your very salvation because this is something that accompanies it. When you're saved, you have something to part with the people that are around you. You have something to give. It's the very heart of Christ. Is it possible? I've asked this question many times. Is it possible to claim the Spirit of Christ and not have a profound love of souls? And I'm going to ask that just to you, just that. Is it possible to have the Spirit of Christ and not have a profound love for souls? Because I can't see that. I can't see that you could actually have, because that's what the Spirit of Christ was. He had a deep love for the souls of man. And when we partake of Christ, we do too. It accompanies salvation. It's a part of the gift of God to us, and it is glorious. It is wonderful to be able to meet new people and to be able to share Christ with them and to share that. And some of the trips and stuff that Lynn and I have taken over the last few years, we've got into different places that people were moved. I just want to tell you this. We was up in Wisconsin last year, and we had absolutely a wonderful, wonderful tent meeting up there. We've been doing it for a number of years, but I'm telling you, we had tear-soaked altars. I've seen people come, and you talk about tears. You think, well, we made a tear. I'm talking about needing to wipe it up. I'm talking about people that came for purposes and reasons to the altar. It thrilled my heart. I'm telling you, it was so. I've never felt it. It's the tops to me. We've prayed many times, Lord, give us souls for our hire. Lord, if we can experience that, it's all we need. Take care of our needs, and Lord, give us souls for our hire. To see people longing like that. And it seemed to me like that the Lord was special. Do you want your minister to be fired up? Sure you do. Go to service, and it seems so dry. You're partly responsible. I'm going to tell you what I learned up there. I just went up there like I always go. Felt like the Lord inspired it, sure. But I went up there, and there was a whole bunch of people up there hungering for God. I mean, hungering for it. Truth. They wanted it, and they wanted it bad. And they was right there ready to get it. And it was the easiest preaching, just stand up. I mean, the Lord was just blessed because he was being faithful. And you come hungry, you come wanting, you come desiring. See what the preacher does. The Lord will turn it on them. Because he'll deal with the faithfulness. He'll deal with his promises. And he promised to do it. Yes. Lord, help us. The things that accompany salvation, you have on your life a call of God, a place that you only can be in and be faithful to it. And Lord will bless you right there in it. And you'll be happy and content. You pray for me.